I want to welcome today a special friend of mine, Ricardo Puerta. He's been just one of my closest friends in ministry for many years. And we've gone through some times faithful. He prays, he encourages. And he was coming today. In fact, good friends of his, Pastor Fabian and his wife Elvian, and the boys drove 14 hours just to see him. So he must be special. So, Ricardo, God bless you as you open God's word and speak to us.
Thank you. Good morning. How's everybody doing? I tell you, every time, I used to be kind of loud, so watch out, okay, because I don't want to blow ears off. But I just got to tell you that I get very excited every time I have the privilege to share the word in English. So, you know, my main ministry is with Latino people, Spanish speaking in this country. I'm a missionary from Mexico. So I'm still learning English. Okay, so beforehand, I want to ask you forgiveness. If something comes out kind of weird, you know, so you understand why. Obviously, my first language is Spanish. And so, you want to help me here? That's anointing slam right there. So, most of the times, you know, when I preach, it's in Espanol. And so when I don't preach very often, to be honest, in English, I should, but I just have to stop to go to Taco Bell so that I can, you know. But let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I live in Michigan. Anybody here from Michigan? Oh, wow, look at you all. Well, you're loving it here, don't you? Yeah, well, actually, El Niño is really kicking us over there, so it's really nice, the weather, as we speak right now. So we had only one snow storm, and that's it. But right now, you know, it's been like 60s and 50s, and it's like, yay! You know, it's been really cool. But I'm a missionary from Mexico. Like I said, I've been here in the U.S. since 1990, that the Lord called me to ministry here to the U.S. to work among the Latinos, Spanish, Hispanic, or aliens, or whatever you want to call them. You know, and it's just been exciting. It's exciting what God continues to do in this country. And so here I am, you know, for all these years, planting churches, training leaders, and doing whatever the Lord is calling us to do for the ministry. And currently I'm working with Dynamic Church Planting International, and that's the organization that I'm working with currently. And all we do, basically, in our mission is just to equip leaders to plant churches. And we got our own vision that the Lord granted to us as an organization. And that vision is to see the 5 million church plant around the world. And I know it sounds like huge, but you know what? When something seems to be impossible, definitely it's coming from God, okay? Because God can make all things possible. And so we, you know, we do not plant churches. I just want to make sure that you understand that. We do not plant churches, but we do equip pastors, couples, missionaries, and everyone out there that is being called by the Lord to plant a church for the first time, or maybe pastors who's been pastoring for many, many years, great leaders, but they never planted a church before. So that's when we come in. And we facilitate, we equip, and that's what we do. So about that vision that I told you, the 5 million vision, so far we are close to hit that 300,000 churches that have been planted since 1994. So we're like very close. But you know, if you like numbers, anybody likes numbers here? You know, I don't. Okay, because that was my nightmare, you know, the math. But we have a great guy who retired from NASA, you know, the Apollo 13. Anybody familiar with that? Hey, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. This guy, he just retired, Frank. I forgot his last name because it's kind of funny for me to pronounce it, so I'm not going to do it, so you, that way you don't make fun of me. No, I'm just kidding. But Frank, you know, he came to be part of our team. And this guy, I mean, seriously, he's like really smart. He was one of the team members who put this mission together, the Apollo 13 thing. And so he heard about, you know, DCPI, you know, Dynamic Church Plan International. And he like, hey, you know, I want to know more about it. So, I mean, just to give you a short story, you know, he became now a volunteer with our organization. So he's helping us with numbers. So they did a projection, you know, according to the number of leaders that we're training every year. By the way, this year, we're close to train 23,000 leaders around the world this year. And our prayer and our goal was to train 23,000 leaders. We're about a couple thousand before the end of the year, and I know we're going to be able to meet that goal. But according to Frank and his number and all his technology and everything, you know, he says that if we continue the way we are working as we speak right now, we're going to get to see even more than 5 million churches planted by that year 2029. Of course, if Christ doesn't return before then. Right? Is anybody waiting here for the second return?
Yes.
Oh, because you guys don't get excited. I get excited. You know, that's a really cool thing, you know, to know that the Lord is coming again. And if he doesn't come before 2029, guess what? We're going to get to see over 5 million new churches planted around the world. I mean, I don't know what that means to you, but it sure does mean to me a lot, okay? Because we do need more churches, and there is millions and millions of people that still need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today, I do not have a message for you about Christmas. I know Christmas is close, and it's a great season. It's a great moment where we can reflect, you know, about our Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, it will be in relation to. Because I really want to share with you a passage that is very close to my heart. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, if you can go there, if you have a Bible. I don't know if they're going to put it up on the screen or not, but it's going to be Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 37. And I'm sure that many, many of us, we have heard messages or teachings about this passage. At least for me, I have more than once. And every person that talks about these verses, they gave us different perspectives. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to them and telling them and to share to the church. And I just got to tell you that this passage that I'm going to share with you this morning is very, very close to my heart. Because some of you already know my testimony, but you know I grew up as an orphan. And this orphanage, I was taken to this place when I was about 8-9 months old. And I did not get out until 13 years later. So the first 13 years of my life, we're at this orphanage over in the Mexican side in Tecate. Anybody know where Tecate is? No? Yeah, it's not a beer where they make beer, okay? This is another city. And that's, close to San Diego area, Tijuana area, you know, just near that area, up in the mountains. And that's where I grew up. Now, as I was growing up, I got to see and meet many people in ministry. That goes from youth pastors, from missionaries who were going to different parts of the world. I got to meet a lot of pastors. I got to meet a lot of people that came specifically all the way to Tecate just to meet us and just to play with us, to minister to us, to share with us about the gospel and to tell us, you know, that God loves us and all these great things that we can hear today about God. And as I was growing up, I have to confess that many of the things that we were doing that has to do with Bible, with church, with any kind of disciplines that the orphanage was imposing to us, most of them I did it because I wanted to eat. For example, if you were not ready to go to church on a Sunday, and you missed the bus because you were not ready and you didn't want to go, that day you will not eat. And you do not want Ricardo Puerta around you when he's hungry. Okay? So many times, you know, that I went there, I was going because we had to. But inside in my heart, honestly, I have like a huge mixed feelings, a war, if you will, where to me, didn't make much sense, you know, everything that I was hearing from these people, and then my circumstances. I don't know if you ever been there, you know, where something is not going that well, but not yet. Somebody's trying to tell you something like very positive. Yeah, right. You know, like like you have a hard time to really believe it. But you know, I mean, it's so true when the scripture said that his word never returns empty. How many believe that? You know, and regardless of what was happening in my little tiny world, I do remember when I was about 6, 7 years old, every single time when I listened to that pastor, that missionary, that youth leader, that person who came from Canada, anywhere in the U.S., to come and visit with us for a weekend or a week, deep in my heart, honestly, and in the midst of all this mess that I was, deep in my heart, I said, one day, I'm going to be like them. One day I'm going to do what they're doing. And here I am, you know, just by the grace of God. You know, and why I'm sharing this with you, because I want you to understand this morning how close to my heart is this passage. Because when I got out of the orphanage, okay, I came to a home where God was not present in the life of my parents. Or in my family in general. I mean, God was there, but he was not walking in their lives. You know, I came from, you know, a place where people care for you, where people always want to do something positive to you. To a world where, you know, they hate you, they rejected you, they tell you that you're good for nothing, and things like that. You know, where a lot of things, you know, were taking place at this home. So the Lord spoke to my heart, and how he spoke to my heart is in an incident that took place when I kind of began to pay more attention to the world, to the things that honestly were not in benefit to me. And basically on that incident, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I cannot tell you how, but he put these phrases in my heart, and he said, Ricardo, I do not have this plan for you. At that moment, I began to walk on my community in Palaco, Mexicali, where I was being taken, and I found this church, you know, near my house. It was on a Wednesday night when Pastor Isidro, who I love that man, you know, preached about this specific scripture that I'm going to share with you. This specific scripture that I'm going to share with you is the one that the Lord used for me to come and kneel before him and say, Lord, forgive me, and I do want to ask you to come into my life. And not only that, but I do want to serve you for the rest of my life. How long ago was that? Not too long. I was 14 years old. Okay? And I want you to go to that passage on chapter 9 of Matthew in verse 35. And I have the NIV, and it reads, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. Every time I read this passage, it really brings a lot of memories. But more than memories, it reminds me over and over and over that the mission of the church is still the same. How many say amen to that? The reason why we exist as a church is still the same. The mission has not changed. The mission has not changed. The church exists here and under this sky for a particular reason. And the reason, as we read in light of these verses, according to Jesus Christ, is because obviously we have a mission to complete as long as we are on this earth. How many say amen? And it's the same mission. And what is the mission? I mean, literally, it's basically to continuously, intentionally share your story with other people about who Jesus Christ is. Amen to that? That's the mission of the church. You know, and when I think about how, when I think about all these issues that have to do with vision, with mission, you know, with the purpose of the church, to be honest to you, the best place that we can turn to learn from and to get very good examples is Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because he's the best leader. Why? Because he's the best model. Why? Because he's the one, listen to me, I mean, in my own opinion, he's the best mentor. You got me there? He's the best what? He's the perfect mentor. He walked the path. He knows what he's talking about. Even though he's God, he became a human with no sin, but he walked through it. He lived through it. And what can we learn from him? What can we get? I want to share with you very quickly four characteristics that I personally take out of this passage, and how can we as a church, because remember, we are the church. You are the church. This building is a beautiful building, isn't it? Yeah, let's give a hand to the Lord for thanksgiving to him. Hey, because that was from him, okay? I mean, I was here before, and after the fire took place and everything, I came and visited during the week here, you know, just to pray with Pastor Dale and kind of look around, and I'm going like, wow. But you know, God is good. But we are the church. You know, we are the church. You are the church. And what can we embrace from this passage? Well, let me share with you these four characteristics. Number one, when we think about the vision, I think about the vision of Jesus. And the vision that Jesus exposed to us or presents to us continuously as we read in the Gospels, as we read about his ministry under this sky, is that Jesus Christ had a vision that it was alive or living vision or something that was always moving all the time. He was moving, I said, what? All the time. In verse 35, the first words, if you go with me back to verse 35, it says there, the first part, it says, Jesus went. Meaning that he was going, he was moving, he was walking, he was active, he was always doing something. So that tells me, because we are his church, and the church needs to have his vision, it's obviously that we as a church, we have to be a church that is always moving. That is always what? Yeah, meaning that it's not a passive vision. We have to always be doing something. We have to be always telling others about the kingdom of God. We have to always find ways, how can we embrace, listen, how can we embrace the passion that Jesus had for people? And one of the first characteristics that I can see on this passage is that Jesus Christ, listen, our Savior, he had a vision that he was always alive. He was always moving. He was never passive. Maybe the only time that he was passive, if you will, is when he was before the Father praying and having that fellowship with his Father. But most of the times when we read, he was always walking, he was always going, he was always doing something. Something. Because see, one of the things that is really cool for us to be reminded is that we serve a living God. You got me there? We serve a living what? Yeah, we don't have a God that is passive. You know, when you and I, listen, when you and I, we think that he's not moving, be careful. Because he's always moving. I tell you, when I was, you know, at that age, there were so many things that were happening around me. I don't know if you ever went through some hardship here. But over there in Michigan, it happens all the time. And there is moments where you don't feel or think that God is not moving, but he's moving. And he's doing incredible things even in the midst of hardship. And Jesus Christ, listen, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter what the situation was being present in front of him, he was always moving. He was always doing something. He was always looking how to connect, how to do something that will make a difference for the people that he was approaching or the people who were around him. The Apostle Paul, more than once, he says something like this. In the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 15, the last part, he says, he tells his people after they did a miracle there, when they heal a man, he says, I'm telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. And then later on, you know, Apostle Paul again giving praise and thanks to the Lord, telling the people in Thessalonians 1:9, he says, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. What I'm trying to communicate to you, if I'm not clear, is that we must, listen, we must be a church that projects life. How many say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. Because we serve a living God. We serve a true God. There is no other God like him. You understand me? See, I'm speaking in English, right? There is no other God. And one of the characteristics that we can learn from our model, from our master, is exactly that. He was always moving, always alive, always giving life, always projecting life, always giving word to the crowds. You got me, church? Isn't it cool if we come to church like that? Can you imagine how attractive we're going to be? Because see, this is the reality. Listen, please. The reality is that there is so many people, not only here in your community, but around the world, that is so thirsty to hear words of encouragement. And you know what is the coolest thing about this? We, the church, this is amazing. We, the church, the Lord was pleased to give you and me the incredible privilege to give the word of life to the people. You understand that? Isn't it amazing? I mean, as imperfect that we are, as selfish that we are sometimes, he told the angels, you know what? You guys stay here because I got something different for you. But I want my church. I want them. I want to grant them the honor and the privilege to go out and put word of life to a dead world that desperately is dying. Isn't it cool that we as a church have this honor to give the word? You agree with me this morning or no? I just want to make sure that I'm in the right place here. But that's a great characteristic that we can learn from the master. We cannot be a passive church. We need to raise. There is so many people, believe me, and I just speak with so much passion because I love the Lord so much. I love the church so much. And I've been able to see the potential that we have as a church to transform the world of people. You hear me this morning? We have to gain that life, and we have to embrace how the Lord himself modeled to us. He says that he went, and then continue to read in verse 35. He says, Jesus went through all the towns and what? And villages. He was walking from one place to the others. And there is two ways how I would like to apply these words. When he says village and towns, we can also say that Jesus himself was always moving, listen, and he was always speaking, giving the word of life, encouraging people, people who were hurting. Is it people hurting around your community today? And we can say also that he was speaking to a small groups, to big groups, to one-on-one. That's one of the ways we can even illustrate that. But also, listen, he was always willing and able and with a huge desire to speak to these crowds and deliver a word of encouragement, a word of life to them. So number one is that our vision as a church must be alive. It must be moving continuously. But also, the vision has to be a vision of inclusive, meaning that it's not exclusive. Because when Jesus went out there, he spoke to everyone. You got me there? So his vision was very inclusive, meaning that it was not inclusive. When we say towns and villages, teaching, preaching, sharing with them about the great news that the Lord, the Savior, was already in front of them. And his vision was completely, completely inclusive vision. No wonder why the best church planter in the beginning of the church, in Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, Paul says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone," listen, "who calls on the name of the Lord," what's going to happen? Complete that verse. What's going to happen? Do you see what the Lord is telling us? Every person that confess, every person that proclaims about the Savior, the Lord, will be saved. And you know what? This is the coolest thing. Because believe it or not, I don't know if you ever think like me, but sometimes I think, okay, and I'm not minimizing Jesus Christ, okay? Because we need him. We need to keep him. How many say amen to that? We need to keep him. But you know what? I have learned on all these years in ministry that it's very possible that you and I, we can be the last stop for that one person before he goes to hell. Do you hear me? And you're the church. And I'm the church. And our prayer, our desire, honestly, is that we can bring churches to life, but also plant churches that really completely understand and embrace the mission of the church. Because as long as we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ for the second time, we must, can you tell your neighbor, we must share with others about his word. Friends, believe me, it's very possible that you can be the last stop for that one family, for that one person. That God, listen, that God intentionally is bringing to you so that you can proclaim and give words of life. You got me there? We have a mission. The church, we must get passionate about these things. Because that's the whole point of our church. Yeah, it's good to fellowship. How many like to fellowship? Yeah. But our mission, we cannot lose focus on our mission. Meaning also, you know, that God wants to reach everyone. You know, the people very skinny like me, okay? Very dark like me. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they at. It doesn't matter how they look. It doesn't matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter how much education they have. Listen to me. If people do not have Jesus Christ, they will go to hell. And that's something that we as a church must remember. Must remember. It is urgent. It is urgent for you and I as a church to share our story. Many of us, we came to Christ in different circumstances. I'm sure you have a story to tell. How many say amen to that? Yeah. Some of us, we found Jesus not in a very nice way. I have my story. You have your story. And believe me, all you and I, we have to do is just to share with them, telling them, you know, how great the Lord has been to us. How difficult is that? Very important. Very important. We must have a vision that is not exclusive. We have to be willing to preach, to tell, to embrace, you know, all people, reach everyone, everyone. The third one also is the one that I really like a lot. And this has to do in verse 36. Can you go with me there, please, in verse 36 of Matthew 9, where we at? And he says, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without what? Shepherd. So our vision as a church, also one of the characteristics that we can learn is that we must be a church with intensive compassion for the people. I travel a lot. You know, not that I like titles, because I really don't, because I love to serve God. But I'm in charge of North America. So I go to Mexico a lot. I'm in the U.S. everywhere a lot. I'm in Canada. And sometimes, once in a while, I go to South America or even Africa. But you know what I have learned? And this really breaks my heart. I've been so indifferent. And I'm sorry that I have to say that, but it's the truth. We cannot. Please hear my heart this morning. I'm here to encourage you, okay? I'm here to share my heart with you. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you that I got it all figured out, because I don't. I'm very imperfect. But it's amazing. It really amazes me how indifferent sometimes we are as a church. And when I feel that I'm getting indifferent, you know what I like to do? I like to go back to that one day when Jesus Christ touched me and found me, embraced me, and loved me, and had so much mercy on me. When no one wanted to do nothing with Ricardo, no one was even believing in Ricardo, Jesus Christ himself, listen, came and embraced me and rescued me and lift me up. Did you remember that one day? When Christ came into your life? One of the incredible pictures that I just love to visualize is in John chapter 8. You can read it later. But John chapter 8 tells us a story about this woman who was found in adultery. Remember that? And according to the law, you know, whoever was found doing that act, they have to be taking this person out of the city and be stoned to death. Remember that story? And remember that the scripture tells us that when Jesus came, it says that it was there people from all ages. You know, young people, you know, younger people like me, other people older, you know, and so on. And everybody had a stone in their hand. They were ready to throw the stone at these women. And then it says, you know, that Jesus began to write on the ground. Remember the story? Anybody remember the story here? And then I don't know what he wrote. I really don't know, but I really don't care. The thing is that he was writing down there, and then he got up. He looked at them. He looked at her. And then said, what did he say? Ah. And the scripture tells us that every person dropped their stone on the ground and laughed until Jesus was with who? With her. Jesus just loved her in pieces. Embraced her. Encouraged her. Forgave her. He put words, listen, of life on someone who was hopeless, on someone who was about to end her life like that. But the Lord, listen, had an incredible mercy and grace and love to her. And you know what? You and I, we were that woman. You got me this morning, church? As we prepare for Christmas, yeah, it's a great thing that Jesus born. Amen for that. Praise the Lord for that. But we must turn our focus for what he has done for you and for me on that cross. Because you know what? The only way we're going to get passionate about him and about his vision and about his mission and about who Jesus Christ is to continuously remember what he has done in the cross for us. The price that he paid for us. We must, as we prepare on this season, we must turn to the cross and remember what the Lord has done for us. Let me just finish with this. In verse 37 and 38, if you will, it reads like this. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are what?
Few.
Few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The vision of the church comes from the owner of the church. Who is the owner of the church? Come on, don't be afraid. Who's the owner of the church? Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the one that has the last word. And the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, his vision and mission for the church has to be to develop a compassion, to develop an inclusive environment, to develop a living church, a live church, a church that is vibrant because of him, so that we can impact the community, so that we can impact the world, so that we can impact many thousands and thousands of people that still need to hear the word of God. There is so many people out there here in your own community. People, listen, please. They desperately need to hear God's word. And you know what? God is giving us that incredible opportunity to go and share his story, our story, of how good he has been to us. Do you agree with me? Would you please stand for a moment if you can? If not, you can remain seated, but stand with me, please, for a moment. I ask the worship to get ready, please. I don't know if they're going to sing for us another song. But I want to tell you this. The vision for the church is necessary. It's not optional. We must understand that sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, please listen, it's necessary. It's not optional. When Jesus Christ himself is telling us here to pray to the Lord, and please understand that when he used this word ask, he does it in a way that is an urgent thing. That we as a church, listen, we must continuously pray that God is going to send people to reach out, to impact. And you and I, when we commit ourselves to pray like the way Jesus Christ is asking us here, we have to be careful. And you're like, what? What are you talking about, Ricardo? Yes, we have to be careful. And we have to be careful because it can be that you and I were praying for workers, and maybe you are one of them. You are the one person that God wants to send out to impact your community and change the world of one person or many people. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And we just want to thank you so much, Lord, for giving us. We want to thank you so much, Father, because without your grace, without your mercy, without the work that you've done in that cross for me, for your church, I really have no idea, Lord, what would it be with me or even with my brothers and sisters and my friends here. Lord, I pray for Echo Mountain Church right now that, Father, you will raise up the vision, the passion of your church in this community. Father, that this morning as we are dismissed, as we even prepare our families, our homes with the Christmas celebration, understanding that you came so far to this earth and born and die and rise again. What an amazing gift, Lord, we have in you. And Father, as we reflect on all this, I just pray, Father, that you will give us an incredible vision and passion for our community, for our neighbors, for the people who are around us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for who you are to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.